Welcome once again, everyone, to a Baseball America podcast, along with Ben Badler. I am John Manuel. I guess we're not live, but we are in New York City, side of the Futures game. Ben, quite the double for us yesterday. Knocked out two big league parks in one day, a little Yankee Stadium for a 12:30 Futures game, and then a little Mike Pelfrey and the New York Mets at night against the Colorado Rockies in the last game of the first half of the Major League season. Kind of a good baseball day, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say I think actually Mike Pelfrey was probably the most impressive player we saw all day from a U.S. player.
No doubt.
In terms of those players. Certainly a disappointing performance for the U.S. in the Futures game. There were a couple players who played well, some pitchers who threw the ball pretty well, but obviously I think the Davey Johnson and the rest of the staff there was visibly disappointed with their performance yesterday.
Yeah, ran into Eddie Lynch and Bob Watson. Bob Watson, kind of the general manager, basically, of the national team, and Ed Lynch, kind of like his top assistant, and ran into those guys before the game. And I'm telling you, before the game, those guys were in great moods, really excited to see these players in action. And they talked about how the vast majority of the Olympic team was going to be guys who were on that team yesterday, on that roster yesterday. And they're deciding today and tomorrow, and they'll announce on Wednesday the official Olympic roster for 2008 in Beijing. And I got to tell you, I don't think anybody for Team USA at the Futures game yesterday, Ben, made their case to clinch a spot on the team. Maybe Taylor Teagarden. Maybe Brett Anderson, because if you're looking for left-handers, I think Brett Anderson was a little bit better than Clayton Richard of the White Sox, although Anderson gave up two base runners. He picked them both off, and he touched 95 with his fastball. But wow, an uninspiring performance by the members of Team USA yesterday. They get manhandled by the world team, and that was not one of these Futures games. Ben, I know it was your first Futures game. I think it was about my fourth. And a lot of Futures games where you see world or U.S. pitchers but just go out there and blowing straight cheddar and throwing 95 to 100 miles an hour. That wasn't the case yesterday. Henry Rodriguez and Casey Weathers, the eighth inning, was clearly the inning for velocity and the biggest arms of the game. Otherwise, it was good pitching, but not great pitching. Team USA just didn't play well in any facet, I don't think, in any way offensively. They weren't, outside of Matt Gamble's two walks, they really didn't have great approaches or a lot of patience.
I think Gamble had the best game of any U.S. Hitter at all, and he went 0 for 0 with two walks.
That's not saying much.
I think he saw nine pitches, and he drew a couple of walks, so it was good for Matt, but I almost think it was just a poor game hitting more so than, great pitching by the world teams. Not to discredit the world team, obviously. You hold a team to two hits, you're doing something pretty well. And you did see some pretty good arms there. Obviously, you saw Henry Rodriguez crank it up to 100 miles an hour. He threw one about 99. If you watched the game, he fell down right after he threw it. So he was definitely cranked up for that game.
And that was good because I got, being in the world dugout working for XM Radio, Ben, I got to talk to him immediately afterwards in the dugout. And first I asked him, ¿Se habla inglés para la radio? And he said, no, sir. So he didn't want to be on the radio. But I did talk a little bit with him just about, I said, you pitched really well out there or something like that. He said, thank you. I said, why'd you fall down? He just said, I just fell. And he said, it was fun. So I think he had a good time with it. And then the best part was talking to him after the game with a translator while he's chowing down on a Nutty Buddy.
All right.
You have to remember, Henry Rodriguez is 19 or 20 years old, and he still digs the Nutty Buddy. And that Nutty Buddy was gone in about 20 seconds during that interview.
Yeah, the world team was kind of like Rodriguez. They do tend to kind of shift towards the younger end of the spectrum. But
absolutely.
I did see a lot of guys who really did impress me from the world team. Fernando Martinez and Luke Hughes. Watching those two guys in batting practice.
In the same group.
Yeah, in the same group. I thought Luke Hughes was going to get up there, and, nothing against him, obviously, but, I thought maybe he just played ball all winter and kind of stayed sharp and got off to a hot start this year, because obviously it's, so out of character with what he's done in the rest of his career so far, but he was just absolutely just launching balls in batting practice. So for him, to see him do that, get tremendous loft under his swing was impressive. And then Fernando Martinez, too, was just kind of just lacing line drives all over the field. He hit a couple, over the fence in right field. And for someone who's just 19 years old, you could just tell that, once he fills out and once his body kind of matures and he develops as a hitter, that could be something special right there.
Yeah, that was an interesting group, and this is something I actually was talking about this morning with J.J. Cooper. You know, my first Futures game was down in Houston. I think it was 04. And the first BP group I remember, I will never forget watching Delmon Young, B.J. Upton. I'm pretty sure the third guy was David Wright, and the last guy was Aaron Hill. And Aaron Hill was like the late replacement to that game. He wasn't originally on the roster. I mean, he's had a pretty nice big league career, and he ended up being the MVP of that game. I remember Aaron Hill just laughing when he came off out of that BP group and saying, what am I doing in this game with these guys? Because that was just a show those guys put on in BP. But, you know, yesterday we had a couple of those. And the first world group was Juan Francisco, Jesus Montero, Chase Swan Lynn, who ended up being the MVP, and then Ramiro Pena, who does not belong and why. You know, Ramiro Pena, a good glove, soft hit shortstop in the Yankee system. But Juan Francisco, he put on a nice show early. Another thing I think, Ben, that struck us was the teenagers, and it's international baseball season, the signing season. Ben's been immersed in it. Obviously, I've contributed a little bit, but, I mean, Ben's been all over this stuff. We just had the signing of Rafael Rodriguez on Sunday with the Giants for $2.5 million, the largest signing bonus ever for a Dominican player. Pretty impressive feat.
Right, yeah, for a Dominican hitter.
Dominican hitter, yeah. And then we had... So it's interesting to watch Montero. To get to see Jesus Montero with his bonus, which we've recently corrected to $1.65 million, confirmed by his agent yesterday on the bus back from Yankee Stadium. And then a big V, Angel Villalona, at 17 years old, one of the youngest players ever to be in a Futures game, if not the youngest. And then to see those two guys in person, Ben, that was actually another thing I think it's good to talk about a little bit in the podcast. You know, so many times when you have these international guys, our sources, before you get to see these players, before they do a whole lot, are sources from outside the organization. That reflected in our 2007 prospect handbook. After Montero had first signed, you know, most of my sources for that were guys who saw him either in instructional league or other, so it was all other clubs. And I think it was a lot of jilted clubs who saw him and knocked the body. I had a comparison to the Travis Hafner physically. Guys who knocked the athleticism and the defense. You know, last year's scouting report, he was sixth in the top 30. A lot more optimistic. He played in the Gulf Coast League and played pretty well. And then, you know, the people I talked to really thought he was making progress defensively. Yesterday, to get to see Jesus Montero in person, see him in BP, talk to him a little bit in the dugout, he is extremely youthful looking. So it's not his age. He's a legitimate 18. And his body is not a bad body. I don't know that I'd say he's athletic, Ben, but he impressed me just physically. He's a big, strong kid. And Angel Villalona looks like he is trimmed up. From the photos we had of him in spring training or from last year in instructional league to now, he's not an Adonis or anything like that, but he is trimmed up. He's a big kid, though. He's a huge kid for 17.
He was standing next to Pablo Sandoval.
Who's also big.
Who made Big V look like Little V. And Pablo Sandoval is much bigger than Big V, just standing next to each other. It was odd seeing Villalona look like that next to Pablo Sandoval. And with Montero, you know, I think you're right, John. It's, you know, I didn't say anything wrong with the body, but... I think a lot of it has to do with just the growth that you go through between 16, 17, 17, and 18. And
just
it sounds
going
like
from being a boy to being a man.
Yeah, and I think part of it too is I think the defense definitely has improved. You talk to, you know, international scouts who saw him when he was coming up out of Venezuela, and, you know, they'll tell you, oh yeah, the defense isn't that good. But you talk to scouts this year, and they seem to think his defense is improving. And I think just talking to him at the South Atlantic League All-Star game a few weeks ago, too, he said, yeah, that's just the one thing about me that's gotten a lot better. It's just, you know, it's like last season was a big struggle for me, but, you know, I think I'm making progress this year. And obviously he's going to say that, just like every player is going to, you know, say, oh, yeah, I've improved a lot. But, you know, it sounds like it is a genuine improvement for him that other scouts around the league are seeing as well.
Yeah, I think it's tangible improvement. I tried to talk to John Stearns about it yesterday. He was one of the world coaches and obviously a former big league catcher. He just said he hadn't quite seen enough. He didn't want to be quoted about anything. He didn't want to comment, not having seen him more than just, you know, warm up in a bullpen. But he definitely thought that all he would offer was that he had at least, you know, those guys think he has a chance to catch. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, he's going to have a chance to at least be a Piazza catcher defensively, a guy who can maybe handle a pitching staff and all that kind of stuff. Now, whether or not he's a Piazza hitter, that's probably too high of a standard to hold him to, just because he signed for that kind of money. But we've already mentioned a lot of the more impressive players, I think, Ben, to us. Who are some of the other things, I guess, that we've already talked about that kind of struck us? First of all, getting to see Will Inman in person. Will Inman's been kind of a controversial prospect. I mean, 2 years ago, we had him on our top 100. Last year, he gets traded from the Brewers to the Padres as part of the very unfortunate for Milwaukee Scott Linebrink deal. And I think his prospect stock took a hit. That guy just keeps on doing it, though, Ben. He keeps getting hitters out. Now he's a double-A. He's adjusted a double after struggling there in 07. And yet, no one in the big leagues throws like Will Inman. I mean, it's a very exaggerated front arm. It's a cross-his-body delivery. It was a little startling to actually see him over and over again pitch like that.
Yeah, I think from the reports that I had heard is that more he was just a guy with good command, good pitch ability. You know, maybe some deception. I thought maybe raise his front side or something like that. But yeah, he was a lot more funky than I had expected him to be. And I think that's one of the best things about the futures game is that, you know, hitters can kind of get it done in different ways sometimes, and pitchers can too, obviously. But when you see certain things like that out of a pitcher, I think it jumps out at you a little bit more. Seeing him do that, seeing Jess Todd, the way his arm worked kind of looked a little bit more like a reliever.
Not impressive. Not an impressive inning for Jess Todd. The stuff wasn't great. The slider was good.
Yeah.
But the stuff wasn't great, and the little shoulder tilt in the delivery. Looked like he was reaching back for everything he had in every pitch. That makes me think reliever.
Yeah, I think that's, too, that's kind of the difference between Jess Todd and Henry Rodriguez. The futures game is the perfect setting for Henry Rodriguez to just sit back and throw, sit at 98, 99, touch 100, whereas Jess Todd, he's not going to crank it up to, you know, 91, 92 to blow it by guys. It's a much better setting for a guy like Henry Rodriguez to excel, and even from him, I thought he kind of looked like he might be more, he's still developing as a starter, obviously, but, you know, the way his arm worked, and you know, with his max effort kind of delivery, and his velocity, obviously, I think that might play up in the bullpen. Showed a nice mid-80s slider, too. I think he might only throw in one of them, but it was it shows some promise. I think it was maybe 85, 86.
No, you're right. It was a good, hard slider. Yeah. It didn't have great depth to it or any tilt, but it had velocity and it had some spin. So
yeah.
It was a pretty nice-looking pitch.
And obviously he's had his command issues, control issues this year. So as soon as he got in the game, I thought he was going to walk a few guys. He walked the first guy, but
right. You
know, he settled down after that, struck out. I think it was Golson, Valleika.
It was Valleika, Golson, Getz.
That was who the last one was.
Not exactly murderer's row either, but right. You know what? This is a guy who's already been to AA and washed out of it once. I mean, he's already been sent back down to high A. I don't think anyone expects that his career is in peril because of that, but he's very young. This is a very young, like you said, skewed young world team. And then the thing is, so this is a high class A pitcher who just came in there and blew away a couple AA guys in Valleika and Golson, and a AAA guy in Chris Getz. So, pretty impressive performance by Henry Rodriguez. The U.S. team, the pitchers did look pretty good on Team USA. I mean, Clayton Richard was Clayton Richard. That's what he is. He's a sinker-balling lefty, and he doesn't have overwhelming stuff. He's not going to go out there and impress you with the radar gun. But a couple other A's farmhands were impressive. I thought Trevor Cahill and Brett Anderson both looked pretty good. Jake Arrieta threw well. And, Casey Weathers threw fairly well, although he walked too. He was the hardest throwing U.S. pitcher. But, I mean, for the world team, everybody looked good, really, on the mound. I can't think of anybody who didn't look too great. Like, when Jesus Delgado was on the mound for the world team, and the U.S. had some pretty good hitters coming up that inning, I really thought that was the inning the U.S. was going to make some hay, and they didn't. And we haven't even talked about the game MVP here, Ben, Chase Swan Lynn. Not here for his power, more of an all-around guy. And I'd say, actually, Chase Swan Lynn with his home run. Another world player who really impressed me was Ivan De Jesus, actually. And I'm going to write something about Ivan De Jesus that'll be online later this week. Just about Ivan De Jesus being from Puerto Rico, son of a big leaguer, and discussing kind of his leadership role that he ends up taking in the minor leagues as a bilingual player who can bridge that divide and is kind of a grinder, really, player. I think Ivan De Jesus is pretty fascinating player from that standpoint. Plus, he had two hits and a walk. He took a perfect throw from Taylor Teagarden to throw him out trying to steal a base yesterday, and he turned the double play at second base. It wasn't the cleanest turn of the double play, but he showed definitely the arm strength and some nimble feet to make the turn. So Ivan De Jesus was another player who stood out for me as being pretty impressive. But do you have any thoughts on Chase Swan Lynn? I kind of glossed over him, but I think kind of an unlikely MVP, certainly for a 19-year-old in low Class A to have two hits and be the MVP of the Futures game.
Yeah, I think it almost kind of shortchanges because he only got one pitch on that first at bat.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, obviously he hit it out of the park, so you can't really ask for too much more than that. But, you know, he's low Class A still in Greenville, but great athlete, good fundamental swing, good knowledge of the strike zone. So there's a lot to like there. I think the Red Sox are making inroads over there on the Pacific Rim. So, you know, when you have that and you have that kind of showcase in the Futures game, a game on ESPN, you know, like that to show over there, it's certainly going to win them a lot of support over there on the Pacific Rim.
And nothing says big time like Aaron Andrews showing up to your sporting event in the short skirt. I think that really stamps an event as big time.
Yeah, I saw a lot of big-time personalities there yesterday, so it was definitely a fun event to be at.
Definitely the biggest-time celebrity softball game in the history of that event. The Futures game players, the world players at least, being in the world dugout for most of the game, the world players, I think, were more excited to see Chris Rock and Whoopi Goldberg and some of the stars in the celebrity softball tournament than they were to see, and also they were much more excited to see Aaron Andrews, actually, and they were interested in the game. Because during the game, most of them were sitting in the dugout on the bench. They were not up on the top step a lot of the time. I had no problem getting up on the top step to watch the game and get a ridiculously, it might even be a violent sunburn. It's a painful sunburn. But standing up on the top step, visitor's dugout, should have brought some sunscreen and I definitely should have worn a hat, Ben. That was not intelligent on my part. But the only thing that got those guys really going was the appearance of Aaron Andrews and the appearance of the celebrities for the softball tournament. So not the greatest Futures game of all time, but still, like you said, it does give you a great place to watch every single player and compare them against each other. And, you know, in the between batting practice rounds for the world and the U.S., went up in the stands and talked to several of the scouts, guys like, you know, Mike Radcliffe of the Twins and Abe Flores of the Angels and a couple guys with the Yankees organization, just about the event, and they all agreed it was just a must-see event in the industry to see all those players in the same kind of place like that. Really, outside of the Arizona Fall League, you don't get to see all prospects in one place like that and compare, you know, guys across organizations. So it's still an outstanding event, even if yesterday wasn't the best representation maybe of the Futures game. Any other thoughts you maybe had, Ben, from your first Futures game, anything that really stood out for you?
I think just the crush of media that was there.
Yeah.
You know, usually going to a lot of the different minor league games, even minor league all-star games, usually they're just me there or me and a few other folks there. But
right.
It's definitely an event that has international appeal.
I think that crush you mentioned yesterday, I think that crush really probably affected Matt LaPorta. He just didn't look comfortable at the plate. He was taking a lot of time to try to get in the box. And I felt, I sympathized a little bit with Matt LaPorta because he really bore the brunt having just been traded for CeCe Sabathia. He was the guy that national media was looking to talk to yesterday.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reporters who maybe wouldn't otherwise know so much about a lot of these players unless they're, you know, in the organization that they cover. But, you know, obviously Matt LaPorta's gained some national prominence being traded as a centerpiece of the CeCe Sabathia trade. So, you know, he looked like he was just a little bit uncomfortable out there because everyone was just going to swarm him. So I can't say I feel bad for him because he's got a pretty great profession, but you know I definitely did not envy him on that day. It didn't look like he was at his most comfortable on that day.
Well, if the United States is going to win another gold medal in Olympic baseball like they did in 2000, they're going to need Matt LaPorta to be big time. I mean, I got to imagine that Matt LaPorta is going to make that team. I got to imagine he's going to hit higher than sixth in the order. I got to imagine Jamie D'Antona is not going to hit in the four hole in the Olympics. He was not up to the task yesterday in the Futures game. One of the oldest American Futures gamers at 26 in the history of the game. And I don't know if Jamie D'Antona really earned his spot yesterday. But like I said, tough for the U.S. from the Olympic team and standpoint. Obviously, we will have reaction later in the week when they actually name the Olympic team. And we're working on our Olympic preview right now, Ben, and that's part of what the Futures game kind of dovetails into. And we finish up the day of baseball at Shea Stadium. Good stuff for a first trip to Shea for me. Mets fans were pretty energetic and pretty into it. That was good to also see former BA podcast host and old friend Matt Myers, who was our guide for the game, and met up also with former BA intern Josh Cooper, another New Yorker and big Met fan. So I'd say the highlight of that, seeing a big leaguer pitch like that, Mike Pelfrey, eight shutout innings. Never got to pitch in a Futures game, but he was pretty doggone good last night. That was just fun to watch.
Yeah, it was impressive watching Mike Pelfrey really come around like that. Just basically working off two pitches there, almost exclusively the fastball, threw in some sliders there as well. So, it was good to see him finally start to do well, and obviously that was a very good first half of the year for him.
Well, it was pretty much an all-star week. Futures game last night. Southern League All-Star Game tonight. A lot of our Baseball America brethren will be at the Southern League All-Star Game in Zebulon, North Carolina tonight. Ben Badler off to the Eastern League All-Star Game. And then, of course, your Major League Home Run Derby and All-Star Game coming up. So a lot going on in the world of baseball. This is pretty much baseball's week right here. And we hope to comment on it some more at Baseball America and BaseballAmerica.com here on the podcast. For Ben Badler, I am John Manuel for the podcast. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, so long, everybody.